This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I don't know how that process works, but I don't think there's anyone more deserving than Robert Kraft to be in the Hall of Fame.
High noon on a Friday here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We're less than an hour away from Keefe's Keys. 1 o'clock show. Oh, there you go.
Even, oh, yeah, we got them.
Even from the road there, Keefe, those sound nice.
They come with me everywhere I go.
Well, yeah. How do you get into anything? How do you get your way into any doors or drive any vehicles? How would you do it without that set of keys? That comes your way at 1 o'clock sharp. Patriots and Dolphins. Don't make any bets yet. You want to hear all of the keys to the game before you plunk down a ham or anything like it. So make sure you're listening. Then we still are scheduled to be joined by DeMarcus Covington and a Patriots player. It won't be Christian Gonzalez. No. He'll be joining us on Monday. But the questions are already rolling in, Keefe. Already rolling in on Twitter and the text line, 37937. Let me give you some of the best ones that I've seen so far.
Okay.
We can kind of live vet these if you want, Keefe.
I was going to say, keep some of these under your hat. We want some of these to be a surprise, but hit me with some.
You can send them to at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. We got to ask him what the name of the show is again. I think we've already talked that one through.
100%.
That's
Do you think
be
he gets it this time?
No. No, I think we're going to
next week we're
going to burn him on it again, and then after we do it twice, he'll get it the third time. That's what I think.
He'll ask before he goes on, like, what the hell? What are these two idiots called?
Correct. How about this? I don't think we'd actually ask him this. This is another good one, crowdsourced here. Would you rather not make another dime playing football again, but not have to do more radio interviews?
or
call in every day, but get paid double?
That he'd have to think about that, I think.
That's a thinker.
That would be.
So keep sending those in, 37937, and on Twitter. You're right. I would read more, but you're right. We probably shouldn't burn through
Save
all.
Save them. No,
we shouldn't burn through all that good stuff there, Keith.
You want the surprise to happen. Now, real quick, the Jerod Mayo's answer coming off the top there,
yes,
where he says
What jumped out to you about that? Because there was one thing that jumped out to Billy Lanny that I also noticed.
How totally opposite his answer was from Bill Belichick's in years past.
Oh.
Bill Belichick would give you the old, like there are a lot of candidates or whatever, like we'll see what happens. Like he would no-sell it completely, or
Good
he'd be
point.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of guys. Meanwhile, he'd be like, if you don't have Rodney Harrison in the Hall of Fame, like you've never seen football. And then with Kraft, he's like, yeah, there's a lot that goes into it, and he's definitely one of the guys.
So that's a great – I did not think of that.
Yeah.
I thought of something similar to Billy. Billy, what did you notice when you heard that clip from Jerod Mayo? Oh, yeah, no one more deserving than Robert Kraft to be in the Hall of Fame.
It's more of a nitpick than anything thinking was going to actually happen, but didn't call him Thunder.
Didn't call him Thunder.
That's good.
He called him – I think he called him by his full name. Am I wrong?
Wow.
I think he said Robert Kraft. So maybe there's some growth there. I didn't expect him to answer any differently. Of course, he's going to suck up to his buddy. But he didn't call him Thunder. But that's a good observation there, Keefe. It's very
good. Deserving than Robert Kraft.
Robert Kraft. That's a graduation from Thunder.
Yeah, he's putting on a serious voice.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know how the process works. It's like, you don't? You're in football.
Well, they don't know how.
You don't know how the process
works. In fairness, they don't know how a lot of processes work, it seems, these days in Foxborough.
I mean,
that's actually not shocking.
That probably isn't. But no, I just remember, and like, I don't know if it's, I should have had Nick look this up. It might be in the system somewhere.
But that's a great point.
A couple of times he's been a finalist or a semifinalist, and like, you had to like pull his teeth to basically say he'd be like a good candidate or should be in the Hall of Fame. Like, he would kind of like, you'd almost have to like force him to say he should be a Hall of Famer, and Bill would like talk all around it. Whereas Jerod Mayo, very point blank, like nobody's
more. He's been there for quite a while.
Beautiful.
You know, certainly things he's done in this organization and his contributions in the league. He's a strong candidate.
Strong candidate. He's a strong candidate.
Nobody's more deserving versus he's a strong candidate. Yeah, the owner who has twice the Super Bowls as Jerry Jones is a strong candidate.
Yeah, strong candidate.
Okay, no, thanks.
That's a great contrast. So let's stick with Bill for a moment. Robert Kraft, not in the Hall of Fame. In case you're just tuning in, we talked about this earlier. We'll get back into it here. 617-779-7937. He was left out. It's the 13th time he's been passed over for the Hall of Fame. The individual who is getting inducted.
Yeah, finally.
Finally, indeed, is a man named Ralph Hay. The co-founder of the National Football League, according to some, and the owner of the Canton Bulldogs, not Canton Mass.
I'm looking forward to Ralph Hayes' acceptance speech. That should be. Oh, I'm reading here. He's been dead for 80 years. He won't be there. Like, that is crazy to me.
Hang on. Let me give the resume though.
Sorry. Yeah, please do.
He's been dead for how long? What was the year he passed?
76 years, I think it was.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Something like that.
So yeah. I don't think it's too soon to giggle
at that. Was the Ford pass there yet?
Yeah, I don't. Wait, that's a great question by Billy. The first Super Bowl hadn't happened, as Keith pointed out.
Oh, that's right. That too.
The Canton Bulldogs. He was the team owner from 1918 to 1922. I like this. The quote in the story that was tremendous from an anonymous source. It's a huge surprise, and it's very disappointing. Unless you're an NFL historian, you don't know who Ralph Hay is. And, well, you know who would know who Ralph Hay is, Keith? Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick has influence in these circles within the NFL. Do you think Bill was propping up Ralph Hay, dead for 80 years, a co-founder of the league, allegedly owned the Canton Bulldogs for 4 years? His claim to fame is that he didn't want to pay players. He didn't think players in the NFL, the National Football League, should be paid for playing in these games. That's his big claim to fame. Do you think Bill made a push to, I don't know, get even in some ways with Robert Kraft?
It's a good Keefspiracy. I don't know if everybody on that committee would, if they all would listen to Bill Belichick, but maybe enough of them would, and I wouldn't rule it out. I think if you asked Bill, you know, behind closed doors, do you want Robert in or out of the Hall of Fame? What do you think he would say?
I want him to sweat. I want him to wait.
Yeah. Have him wait a little bit.
Yeah.
Also, like this Ralph Hay guy, it's crazy. Yeah, he's been dead for 80 years. He owned the Canton Bulldogs from 1918 to 1922.
What a visionary, by the way. Football in Canton. That didn't work out. How did that not work out? Like, man, that was a man ahead of his time, putting a football team in a metropolis like Canton, Ohio.
However,
what a visionary.
I have a buddy who lives there. It's a dump. But but in reality, the Pro Football Hall of Fame is in Canton,
yep.
And part of it is because of this guy. So how did they overlook him for all these years?
Paul Brown, Keith, and this is, again, we're now dating ourselves, predating ourselves even. Paul Brown, when Paul Brown was elected to the Hall of Fame, he was stumping for this guy then, and they were still like, nah, we don't need to put him in.
Apparently, they selected Canton to be the site of the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1961. This guy had already been dead for almost 20 years, and he didn't get in any of those times,
nope.
Like at any point.
No.
And then so now he's just been sitting around, passed over for decades, and then they're like, yeah, this is the year. Let's get him in.
Now's the time. So what's going on there? We all agree. I think every bitter Patriots fan, and I you should be bitter with Robert Kraft these days, angry at Robert Kraft maybe is the better word. I think even the most bitter, angry Patriots fans would acknowledge Robert Kraft has the resume. You would acknowledge at least what Bill said, that he is a strong candidate. At bare minimum, he's a strong candidate. I wouldn't put, and we talked about this, Keith, when Don Van Natta wrote a story back in October, I think it was. October, I think, where he came out and said, oh, well, Robert Kraft's been snubbed from the Hall of Fame, and he's real thirsty about it, and blah, blah, blah. We said then, we don't necessarily want owners in the Hall of Fame. I don't really think there's a place for owners in the Hall of Fame, if it were up to me. It's not. A bunch of them are in. Including contemporaries. You mentioned Jerry Jones. Eddie DeBartolo, who's no stranger to scandal, is in the Hall of Fame. Pat Bowlen is in the Hall of Fame. So there's a bunch of owners in there. Assuming owners get in, he's as deserving as any of them are, even if you disagree with the notion they should be in. So it's clearly not about credentials. It's about scandal. It's about maybe some jealousy and bitterness. And it's about, I think, really, the pressure campaign he's tried to run to get into the Hall of Fame. I think people are just sick of him wanting it so badly. And, yeah, they don't want to deal with the thirstiness from Kraft and the people around him pushing to get him into the Hall of Fame.
He wants it too much. It definitely seems like he's campaigned too much for it. Either he or those that work for him have tried too hard. Some of the anecdotes in that story from a month ago were about everybody on the voting committee getting a copy of the Dynasty book, some on the committee getting a copy of the book multiple times. I think the Dynasty documentary backfired in his face.
Totally.
I think the situation at the massage parlor in Florida probably hurt for that year or two in the aftermath. It's being like, all right, we don't want the next headline be him getting into the Hall of Fame. But I don't think that's the reason why he's out. I think there are definitely some, you know, jealous owners around the league that maybe use their influence. You know, one, he won so much. Two, there were a couple of scandals associated there. They never felt like they really got punished harshly enough for them. So I'm sure a lot of owners kind of look sideways at Robert Kraft. But, yeah, he should be in. But what I find interesting about it is the timing of all of this is his individual approval rating in New England has never been lower. In the last few years, he let Tom Brady walk out the door, win a Super Bowl with somebody else, and then he fired Bill Belichick, which for 50% of the fan base was a bad decision. So, and the team right now, like, yeah, there's Drake May, but they're also 3-8, and not a lot of people are confident in the head coach who he hand-selected 5 years ago. So, yeah, like, we can all say, yeah, he probably should be in the Hall of Fame, but I don't think many Patriots fans feel all that bad about it. Because they're like, like 5-6 years ago, you might have been like, yeah, why isn't he in there? This is outrageous. Like, of course he should be in there. I'm going to write a letter to my alderman.
Yeah.
Now it's like, fine.
His approval rating is down. It's very much down with the fan base. But I think even still, I don't think anybody's shedding tears for Robert Kraft today. I shouldn't say any. I think the majority of Patriots fans are like, all right, you got to sit there and squirm with all the crap you've pulled the last few years. Fine, you got to sit there and squirm. Even if I acknowledge you probably should be in, I don't think a majority of Patriots fans feel that badly for him. You can tell me I'm wrong. Weigh in. Let me know. 617-779-7937. But I think we have a pretty good read on the fan base these days. They're not happy with Kraft. As you said, the approval rating is down. It is the Dynasty, the docuseries, and the book. It's the thirstiness of thinking he deserves more credit for the Hall of Fame than Bill or even Tom Brady. Like, he thinks it's like the three of them, and maybe he's even at the top of the masthead there, when really all you were was just a rich guy. Your wife came from a rich family, and you bought the team, and you traded for Bill Belichick, and you lucked into Tom Brady, and you won a bunch while Brady was here. You lost a bunch without Brady with Bill Belichick, and it's even worse now without Bill. So what do you really think you accomplished? What do you really think makes you special at the end of the day? And I think that turns a lot of fans off. I think that might be turning people off in the league as well. And so I'll ask you this, Keith. If it didn't happen now, if they're putting in the Ralph Hayes of the world, we know it can happen posthumously, as we just found out, with the late great Ralph Hay.
Yep, no
doubt. Might be a while after your passing. Do you think it happens during Kraft's lifetime? Like, is it going to happen while he's alive to experience it?
I think Bam Bam Bigelow is going in posthumously as well in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Oh, so good. I Billy, thumbs up back there. Is that accurate?
I think isn't he going in this year, Bill?
He's a nimble big man. Nice. I haven't heard it. I haven't seen, but I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
He's doing a moonsault over 300 pounds. Like,
very nimble big dude.
Should have been in the Hall of Fame a long time ago.
Tattooed head.
I don't know. I get upset about that. Yeah, he was. He kind of made the tattooed head famous.
Oh, like he was before Mike Tyson.
But yeah. Oh yeah. No, that's part. That's like tattooed like skull. Face. This is tattooed head.
Oh, I see.
Like, his whole head was a flame. It's incredible. It matched his tights.
Nice.
The guy was great, Jones. He wrestled some Hall of Famers, actually, in, was it WrestleMania 1 or 2, Bill? Remember, did he fight Lawrence Taylor?
Yeah, him and LT headlined, I want to say it was WrestleMania 11, maybe?
Oh, maybe it was later. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was later.
Those guys get after it a little bit. But pardon the phrasing here, Jones. I could probably have better phrasing. If you could dig up Ralph Hay and put him into the Hall of Fame now, I can't imagine how many other people are going to block Robert Kraft. I feel like next year there's going to be another guy that we haven't heard of, and maybe, well, we're dumb and young, but like there's going to be a majority of the fan base that's like, who's this guy now? And they're going to be like, oh, that guy's more deserving than Robert Kraft. Oh, no, this guy also is more. Like, we haven't heard of these names in forever. For some reason, they got skipped over for 50 years. But now we feel like this is the time to get them in. It seems like he's had a lot of cracks at it. And by the way, the Patriots, unless Drake May really turns them around next year, they're going to continue to be a team that is not in the public eye, not one of these primetime teams every single week, Super Bowl contender, playoff games. I mean, if he's not in now, I feel like maybe he just won't be.
Yeah, I mean, and I, by the way, don't think that's fair. Like, I think if we're being fair, Kraft should be in. But the reality is, I mean, A, life's not fair. And B, I think the people who are in charge, he wants it too badly. And you know people in your personal life that are just too gung-ho, too hell-bent on something. I don't know what it is. I'm running for, you know, a seat at my kid's school or something like that. I want to win this. I want you to vote for this I on social media for me. Vote for my dog in a Halloween costume thing or something like that. And your friends are just too bothersome about it, too annoying about it, and they want it too badly, and they keep reminding you. And you don't need a reminder, and it makes you not want to do it. We've all been there. We all know what we're talking about. That's what this is. They sent the Dynasty book to the same person 2 years in a row?
You're like, dude, I didn't read it the first time. I don't need a second copy.
How many do I need?
Yeah.
How many do I need? So at some point, whether it's fair or not, whether it's just or not, it just becomes annoying, and it becomes too taxing, and it's just a thirsty, thirsty look, and right now the league isn't having it. And you have to wonder, is it ever going to happen for Robert Kraft?
I don't know. Right now, I bet no. I mean, there's been too many years where his candidacy has been locked in. Like, I don't know what sort of milestone he's going to hit next to add to it. Like, it's already 6-time Super Bowl champion, kept the Patriots in New England, and helped bridge a work stoppage. That's 3 pretty good things to me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's plenty of other TV rights deals and stuff that they could point to and making money for the league. It's been a prominent franchise. I mean, think about what the Patriots were in the 90s and then how much the franchise is worth now. Like, so if one of the things that people always credit Jerry Jones with, because he hasn't won crap in 30 years, but Jerry Jones has the big stadium, the Cowboys are worth a lot of money, so if that's important to him, well, the Patriots went from playing in a horrible dump stadium to maybe leaving to being one of the best franchises in sports. Like, the guy's credentials and it's already there. Like, he could retire today and his candidacy should be a shoe-in. So I don't know what they're waiting for. And if they've kept him out to this point, like, I don't know. It feels like they're just going to continue to keep him out.
No, it feels that way. So you can jump in, 617-779-7937. How much does it bother you as a Patriots fan that Robert Kraft is not going to the Hall of Fame for the 13th time? The Hall of Fame voters have said, no, you are not deserving of the Hall of Fame. Does it bother you at all? And does it bother you less than it would have 2-3 years ago, 5 years ago? Because as Keith said, and I think it's accurate, Kraft's approval rating with Patriots fans is at an all-time low. Does it speak to a bigger story about the Patriots in the Hall of Fame? Like, Bill's not going to have to wait. Brady's not going to have to wait, I don't think. Are any of these players that are up for Hall of Fame voting? Vinatieri among them. Rodney Harrison among them. Is that going to impact it in any way? You can jump in here. 617-779-7937. It's how you get in touch on a Patriots Friday with Jones and Keith.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Obviously helping the offense. What was the impetus for putting Marcus Jones in the game plan last week? And is that something you hope to build on moving forward?
Because he called and asked. That's seriously, he did. I got a text from Marcus Jones, and I'm going back in my mind, like, Marcus would just come and sit, talk to me in the building, I would think. So I was Googling Marcus Jones's, and there was a guy that came through Green Bay for a cup of coffee. I'm like, why would he be texting me? And then one of our coaches came and said, Marcus is trying to get a hold of you. So watched 19 plays of his that he's done here as an offensive player. He obviously brings a lot of juice, tremendous ball carrier, speed, his ability to see the field. So, try to find some plays just to get our guys in the best position to make plays, and felt like he would give us a little spark there. We'll see how it goes moving forward.
I'm just curious if there was a reason why you hadn't considered Marcus before, or maybe you did, didn't think the timing was right.
No, that was the first it had come to my attention, and that he had played offensive plays, and, I'm glad that he did it.
I was Alex Van Pelt yesterday. Keith, I think you nailed it. He thought he was being funny. He probably thought he was giving Marcus Jones credit. And it turns out Alex Van Pelt wound up looking just completely in over his head and incompetent is how he came across.
Yeah, he definitely thought it was going to go better than it ended up going. Like, he was telling the story. He's like, man, I thought Marcus would just come talk to me. He's like, I had to Google Marcus Jones. I used to know Marcus. Like,
I had to Google him.
The old Marcus Jones from Green Bay, you have his number in your phone? Like, the whole story is so bizarre, but he tried to make it sound like, hey, like, I'm glad he talked to me about it. It's like, it's week 11 of the NFL season, and you didn't know you had this guy on the team that played offense. He played offense in college. You were in the NFL during the draft process. You were an offensive coordinator with the Browns, where you'd think you'd be looking over some of the players.
And let me interject. You played the Patriots in 2022, the year Marcus Jones played on offense, although in fairness, he didn't do it in that game, but you literally played the Patriots and ostensibly did some sort of scouting for the Patriots. Would have been on the other side of the ball, but maybe you heard it in the building at some point that week. No, not the case.
And he's a third-round pick, so it's not a undrafted, completely out of nowhere, on nobody's radar. Like, he went to Houston. He should have known that, and if he didn't know that, somebody should have told him. And if nobody told him, he should have seen his first couple punt returns and been like, damn, like, look at this guy. Like, can we use him in something? To which point you would think Mayo would say, yeah, not only can you use him, but we actually did that in the past. Mm. Like, holy smokes. So if Matt Patricia and Joe Judge know to use him on offense, what does that say about
nothing
Alex
good.
Van Pelt?
Nothing good, Keith. We've been subjecting people, or subjecting. We've been soliciting, rather.
To our show.
No, we subject people to our show daily. That is true. No, we've been soliciting, rather. Questions for Christian Gonzalez in our man-to-man-to-man.
Yeah.
At Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. TakeQuake suggested this one, Keefe. Did he know Marcus Jones played offense?
I love that one. That probably should be on the list.
That's a good one. We're going to ask that to DeMarcus Covington if he ever joins us here on a Patriots Friday. Is the player still TBD, Billy? We don't even know the name of the player we're getting today.
Correct.
Mystery player. Mystery. How about this? Don't tell us who it is.
Yeah.
And then when he gets on, he has to give us clues, and we have to guess who it is.
Oh, like when Greg had on Grady Sizemore that day.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Mystery guest.
So have him call in and be like, we each get two questions. So Jones be like, offense or defense? And he's like, defense. We're like, great. That cuts it in half.
Yeah.
I'd be like, D-line?
No, this is like a guess who type situation. So, yeah, the game, you really had to like narrow that down.
Is he wearing glasses?
Yes.
Is your character bald?
Yeah. Red hair.
Giant head. That kind of thing.
Okay. So we can narrow that down.
By the way, did you hear this morning?
I didn't hear it, but I think I know what you're about to say because Greg mentioned it to me himself off the air, yes.
So I was listening to the morning show, as I do every morning, and very nice of Greg to promote our show coming up. He's like, hey, it's a Patriots Friday, like, stay locked and loaded all day, including coming up at 10 with Jones and Big Head. I was like, hold on a second. I go, that's our caller, Big Head Tony.
Big Head Tony, well, you're Big Head Keith.
I mean, I'm not small head, Keith.
No.
I didn't realize that was my nickname.
No, that's apparently no. Greg actually was letting me know. He's like, "Did you hear me? Did you hear me
I
call Keith Big Head?" Apparently, you heard that. I did not hear that.
Yeah, I heard it.
But there, how
it
about
was hard
that?
To hear. What if my kids were listening? What would they say?
That's true. Yeah. Think of the children, Greg. Think of the children. But continue to send those in at Jones and Keefe and on the text line 37937. Let's hear Mayo's response today because Mayo's had, what, Keefe, almost 24 hours to think this through. He answered it this morning, so I don't know, maybe 20 hours. Let's give him 20 hours to think this through. Like, how are we going to deal with the PR fallout from this because we look like clowns? How are we going to deal with it? Here's Mayo earlier today.
We spoke with Alex yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm curious on your guys' conversations about personnel groups.
Yeah.
Who can go where? If there are any special packages?
All the time. You know, I know this question was. I knew this question was coming. But look, the primary focus for us this year was to get Marcus healthy and to get Marcus ready to go as a cornerback and a punt returner, and that was the primary goal, and that was our focus. Look. I mean, how much time do we want to spend on gadget plays? He's most valuable on the defensive side of the ball in punt return.
That all sounds
wrong,
well and good. All sounds well and good. How much time do we want to spend? Well, more than zero, I would say. That'd be my answer to that. More than zero, Gerard. And secondarily, all right, well, we didn't want to get him hurt. We want him to focus on defense. Fine. None of that is what Van Pelt said. Van Pelt said, no one told me he played offense. I didn't know he played offense. So you didn't really answer any of those questions or lay those questions to rest, despite knowing, bragging about, oh, I knew that one was coming. Oh, did you? Wow. What a PR expert you are, Gerard Mayo. You knew that question. Wow. You got to wake up pretty early to pull the wool over his eyes, Keith. He knew that question was coming.
It's not going to happen. No, with Mayo, too, it's hilarious because he's probably thinking, come on, AVP. I step in enough with stuff I say. Now I got to clean up your mess.
That's such a good point. He's like, normally this is me. I have to correct my own comments, not yours.
I got to put out my own fires from the morning show, the post game, the Wednesday press conference, and now I'm answering for you and what you had to say. But what's hilarious too, which is another lie or stretching of the truth, is the question is sort of like, hey, do you talk with guys about position groups and where players can go. It was just sort of a way to get there. And he goes, yeah, all the time. So all the time you talk about where players can go.
Every day, all the time
somehow,
we talk about it.
For months, it hasn't been brought up that guy can play over there.
Great point.
They talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We can't stop talking about it. All we do is talk about this. Never came up in a meeting.
So many combinations.
I mean, our offensive coordinator had to Google the guy. But, we talk about it all the time. What do you think? We're not prepared? What is the implication here that we don't know what we're doing and we're not prepared? Is that what you're insinuating?
Crazy.
Come on.
Crazy.
Not us. We're on top of everything. We cross T's and dot I's.
Wrong.
Let me give you another member of the coaching staff today. Mark Daniels pulled back the curtain on Ben McAdoo. Keith, we're all wondering what Ben McAdoo does.
Yeah, what does Ben McAdoo do?
Turns out he's one of four voices. The story confirmed. He's one of four voices in Drake May's ear during the week. Mayo, how much do you think Mayo's in his ear?
Little.
Yeah, that might be a...
He's too busy talking to all the coaches about where players can play.
Yeah, that's an honorary degree. He's an honorary voice in May's ear. I don't think he talks to him that much.
No. He doesn't talk to Mayo other than hey, what's up, coach?
Right.
That'd be my guess.
Good morning, coach. How you doing?
That kind of thing.
Van Pelt, T.C. McCartney, the quarterback coach, and Ben McAdoo. McAdoo, it turns out, runs the meetings on Thursday. I guess that's a third down focus on Thursdays. So Van Pelt calls plays on Sunday. T.C. McCartney runs the quarterback meetings during the week, although McAdoo is in attendance for those. And McAdoo runs the Thursday morning offensive meeting every single week. Every Thursday morning before the Sunday games, McAdoo runs the Patriots offensive meeting, writes Mark Daniels.
Okay.
This is where the team goes over their strategy on third downs before practice. McAdoo starts things off with his theme song and graphic.
What?
Which lightens the mood. And when McAdoo takes the stage, Keith, the laughs are soon to follow.
Wow.
This is when Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins. Oh, yeah. You know it.
Do you see him? Is he walking on the stage with one of those cordless mics Steve Jobs?
Yes.
Getting people all fired up. He's like, you want to see the iPhone 20? Because we got something for you. It was going, yeah. You guys want
to
see our third
Welcome
down packages this week?
Yeah. No, I kind of picture him in a bomber jacket, aviators, with his hair slicked back like how he used to coach.
Yep, I like that.
That's how I kind of picture
all the way back.
Yeah.
Watching plays of, those great giant offenses that he was in charge of.
Yeah. Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins is blaring through the Patriots meeting room. Before the players know it, a customized Top Gun graphic appears on the screen. Every week, Keith, McAdoo photoshops a player's face onto Maverick and Goose. Every week he does this. So he spends all, literally, what does he do all week?
Memes.
He sits around meme lording all day long, just trying to figure out in, you know, Microsoft Paint. He just sits there all week on his computer, photoshopping faces onto Goose and Maverick's body, listening to Kenny Loggins running the Thursday. You wanted to know what Ben McAdoo does?
We got it.
That. He basically, he's qualified to run our Twitch, is basically what he does.
So, yeah, he and Jonathan now have a real rival.
Yeah, move over, Jonathan.
What do you think it is? Is it the volleyball scene when they buzz the tower? When
Good. Well, that's a good
point. I hope it's the volleyball scene.
I pictured it as like the same Photoshop over and over again, just different heads. But you're right. Maybe it's different scenes from the film. That's a good point.
Do you think he takes a lot of pride in his Photoshop where you're like, wow, is that really the player? Or I love a bad Photoshop where it's like a square picture head. It's like you literally cut it off the canopy.
Right. I bet it's an unintentionally bad one. I bet he's very proud of his photoshopping skills.
He's like, guys, what do you think? The head's way too big or small. And you're like, that doesn't. Who is that, coach?
Doesn't work at all.
It's like, what are you talking about? That's Christian Gonzalez on there. That's him as Iceman. You're like, I guess.
I can see it, I guess. That's Meme Lord McAdoo for you. Now, if you wanted to know, we've been asking all year, what does Ben McAdoo, what's his role with the team? Like, is he in Gerard Mayo's ear?
Yeah.
Is he, you know, one of these guys who's like on the headset and super big part of the game planning and the prep?
All the players on the team are like, I know there was like a Top Gun Maverick. Like, what is this one from? Where'd you find this? Who are those guys? They're old.
My goodness. So that's what he does. He spends all day in Microsoft Paint creating memes for his Thursday meeting, which apparently the player, Joe Milton called him hilarious. Probably.
So I didn't know that about him. That's great. You got a guy who's like a stand-up comedian doing these meetings.
He said hilarious Keith, probably one of the funniest coaches.
All right.
Not definitively, just probably.
No, he's a strong candidate.
Yeah. So was it him or Barmore that's doing the Friday
funnies? Well, I was thinking this too earlier, Nick. He runs the Thursday meeting, hilarious.
Yep.
Barmore does the Friday funnies.
Yeah, well, you need to have like a jokester on each side of the ball.
Yep.
Whole, like, that way Barmore can make the defensive guys laugh. Yeah. McAdoo on offense. Makes sense.
And so I wonder, maybe if they spent a little less time on the Friday funnies and on their memes, maybe they could tell, I don't know, Alex Van Pelt, that Marcus Jones plays on offense. Maybe they could do that. Maybe you could cover that.
Maybe somebody did tell Ben McAdoo, but he was so invested in his Photoshop. He like told him, and he was just like, click,
hang on.
Did you hear what I said, Coach? Marcus Jones can play offense. And he's like, hold on, I got to finish this goose rendering, and perfect.
Right. Nailed it. The danger zone.
He's like, you guys love planes?
Yeah.
He's like, all right, Coach, we'll talk to you later.
Nick, could you cue up Kenny? Stand by Kenny Loggins for a moment. What's up? How would you characterize the situation, the futures for all these coaches in New England? I would say maybe that song's
it's a little
too on the nose, Keith, I would say.
It was going really well, actually. Yeah. They'd kind of like pulled the nose up over the last couple of weeks, and now it's like they don't even talk to each other. They don't know what's going on.
Why doesn't McAdoo talk to anybody? Oh, he's memeing right now.
Don't talk to him. Don't talk to him. He's doing his memes.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't. Don't talk to Picasso while he's painting, okay? you let the man do his work. 617-779-7937. More of your feedback here on Jones and Keefe. It's Patriots Friday. Maybe we can mix in some Red Sox talk. Still scheduled to be joined by a TBD player, DeMarcus Covington. Don't forget about the keys at 1 o'clock sharp.
But I'll give you the name of one player who we talked about this week on one of those Rookie of the Year boards as being a candidate, Willier Abreu. And it might surprise people to hear that he could be available, but here's why. Roman Anthony is the third-ranked prospect in the industry, one spot ahead of Carson Williams, who we talked about earlier on in this segment. Christian Campbell is 10th. Darren Duran is out there. Seidon Rafaela is out there in the outfield, too. And so even though Willier Abreu just received votes in the Rookie of the Year conversation, a team like the Seattle Mariners, we talked about them earlier in the week, they need offense, guys that put the ball in play. Willier Abreu, for me, would be a great fit with the Mariners. I also mentioned the Giants in the context of bullpen fits, too.
That was John Morosi on the MLB Network. I love that, Keith. You might not realize that Willier Abreu was available.
Is that right?
Wow.
For the right price?
Wow, Willier Abreu.
Yeah, okay.
Available for a Mariners pitcher. I saw John Heyman in the New York Post, again, linking the Red Sox to Garrett Crochet. He said that Crochet is drawing big interest from the Orioles, Red Sox, Dodgers, and Phillies, among others. But you noticed a tweet from a former Red Sox? Yeah, did he play here?
Well, I guess it was on Instagram Live, and then somebody was quoting what Carlos Baerga, who's like an odd kind of baseball insider. I feel like he's had stuff. I don't think he's right every time.
Oh, is that true? I didn't realize he has like a track record.
He does. I remember talking about him before where he has had stuff, and you don't know if he's, you know, talking to players or maybe a shared agent or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this was more whether there's truth to it or not. I think it's an interesting kind of springboard where he's one of these guys that's not ruling out Juan Soto to the Red Sox. And he is he says Juan Soto, though, wouldn't go alone. And he even floated the idea of they could still trade for Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's unbelievable. Like, that would be the craziest thing.
Don't even go to Northeastmen's now.
No, exactly. Yeah, I just, I know. What was the text? I got a little heavier.
You would have gotten much heavier if this happened. I mean, I don't know, again, the truth to it or not, but I actually understand the push for Soto could very well be like, hey, it's not just you. We're not going to bring you in and then simply rely
on
you.
Well, let me jump in. Like, do I think that's likely the Red Sox are signing Soto and trading for Vlad? Like,
no,
hell no. But isn't that so much more believable than what's your farm system? Like, this crap that we've been shoved down our throat from Sean McAdam, great reporter. And who was the other one we were reading the other day? Not Rosenthal. We were just reading a story the other day.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, he cares about your farm system. Garbage. Like, that's much more believable that he wants to pair up with another star or something like that to come here. Yeah.
Or is that, maybe there is some truth to it. Maybe that's why he's asking about the farm system.
Oh, you need the,
You
need the prospects to trade for Vlad.
Like, basically, do you guys have what it takes to trade for Vlad? I mean, this is me guessing now.
No, that's
like,
okay, wait. So I took them as two inverses, but maybe there's a correlation. That's a good point.
That'd be amazing. And I feel like in other sports, too, like when teams kind of really go from, you know, a missed playoff team to ramping up, they don't just stop short with one guy. So that's why, as far-fetched as it is, I'm like, okay, maybe there's a better chance of them getting two guys like that than there is just one.
Okay. Well, Carlos Baerga. I don't want to spoil random baseball player later today, Keith.
It's not him.
But in 2002, he did hit .286 with two homers and 19 RBIs for the Red Sox, .695 OPS.
Yeah, he was good with the Cleveland, though.
The 0-2 Reds. Oh, I mean, the man could play.
That was awesome.
Man Cleveland. Could play. He's a three-time All-Star, two-time Silver Slugger. So he could certainly play. He is reporting that on Juan Soto. We can get back into it here on a Patriots Friday on Jones and Keith, but every Patriots Friday. As part of our coordinator series, we're joined by a coordinator from the Patriots, and today it's defensive coordinator DeMarcus Covington. He's brought to you by Rate. You can visit Shant, Shantweei.com to learn more, and by McFarlane Energy, a Lennox premier dealer. DeMarcus Covington, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
We're doing great. We noted some of the defensive breakdowns over the week against the Rams, specifically the play right before the half, the long touchdown to Cooper Kupp. How do you guys balance throughout the week and even in-game the risk of a zero blitz where you could give up a big play compared to the potential reward of making a big play as a defense?
Yeah, I think that goes with, you know, playing on defense. So, in that moment, that was, I think at the beginning of the second half, just stopped them on a run, and then Trish trying to get some pressure on the quarterback and then really just making sure that we got to have, you know, good fundamentals on every play.
What's sort of the pros and cons of putting Christian Gonzalez sort of as the boundary corner versus maybe moving him around or just having a matchup on an elite receiver?
Yeah, I think when you go into the game, there's a good amount of elite receivers on each team. And then I think it's best for whatever we want to do best to help us win the game. So whether it's whatever we want to do as a coaching staff, going into it, put him on the receiver, keep him field, keep him boundary. And I know a lot of times into the boundary, there's a good amount of, you know, where your isolation plays and, you know, you can win those one-on-one matchups with him backside, especially when teams, shift motion, run around every single play.
I know Coach Mayo said that when you guys were in man-to-man, Gonzalez was on either Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp the majority of the time. I know there were some beat writers that I guess went through the All-22 and said that that wasn't the case. Either way, do you feel like he was on those guys enough in the game on Sunday?
Yeah, I think he did what we asked him to do in the game plan. And like I said, you can't put Dunzo on every single receiver. You can't double every single receiver on our first, second down, and third down. But, yeah, he was doing exactly what we asked him to do in the game plan. And for us, you know, that's what we want them to do. You know, be coachable and do what we asked him to do, which he's always like that.
Patriots defensive coordinator DeMarcus Covington joining us here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Just yesterday, you compared Marcus Jones to Travis Hunter from his days in college. Knowing what Travis Hunter is capable of, obviously you were aware of what Marcus Jones is capable of on offense. How is he not an option on offense until this past week?
Well, he's a defensive player. So for us, and I said that in a respectful way, and like, because I do think Travis Hunter is a great player. So I said it in a respectful way in both lights, so give him shining light on both players. And I just think, we all see the things that, you know, Marcus can do with the ball in his hand. And for us, it's really, you know, it's my job to coach the defense. I don't really worry about what goes on offense or special teams. I got to do what's right for defense. And if, you know, the game plan is for him to play on offense, game plan for him to play on offense. If it's not, then he plays on defense or special teams.
But he was a defensive player in 2022 as well, and he got snaps on offense then. So I get that he's a defensive player, but he's done both in the past. There's a big push for collaboration in Foxborough. I get kind of staying in your lane and, you know, sticking to your side of the football, but it sounds like Alex Van Pelt wasn't aware. No one brought that up to him, because I agree, it's obvious what he can do. Why was it not brought up?
I think you asked the wrong guy.
Okay, but you were aware that he played off. You knew that, and Van Pelt didn't know. So, I mean, who should we ask? Gerard?
Well, to me, I think when you look at players and you look at me being a defensive coordinator, I should know my players better than anyone. And I tell our position coaches to know the players better than anyone. So Marcus Jones has been, you know, with us defensively for a while. So that's kind of how I look at it. I know Marcus well enough, and so to me, those are questions for someone else.
Did Marcus ever bring it up to you before he contacted Coach Van Pelt?
No.
I'm curious, going up against a team like Miami and their speed, you know, every team in the league is fast. There's fast players in every team, but I feel like Miami has sort of another gear with their receivers and their running back, even their tight ends. Is there anything different you can do in practice to sort of prepare yourself for that next level of speed?
Yeah, we cheat those guys up on the line of scrimmage, give them an extra yard where they start already, you know, almost in their their running area. So those are different ways that we can do that, where we, you know, instead of putting them in their normal receiver alignment, we just put them, you know, a yard ahead.
You know, and this is sort of, a minor thing, but there really aren't a lot of lefty quarterbacks in the NFL anymore. And so that also has to just be sort of a different look the two times a year you guys face. Well, I know last time actually he was hurt, but the times that you guys face Tua.
Yeah. I mean, Tua's a great player. So, I mean, he does a really good job throwing it. You know, he does a really good job getting it out to his receivers. He's a great player.
There's a point of emphasis this year from the NFL to limit some of the pre-snap motion, or at least it changed from in years past where we saw the Dolphins offense be really successful at a high level. How do you think cracking down on some of that pre-snap motion has impacted them this year?
Well, I think they motion a good amount, so I don't think it's slowed those guys down at all. They do a good job. They're very creative with their motions. I think a good amount of teams in the NFL have copied that. And so I don't think it slowed it down at all. I think they're an efficient offense. I think they do a good job creating different plays off their motions.
Okay. He's Patriots defensive coordinator DeMarcus Covington, part of our coordinator series every Friday here on Jones and Keefe. DeMarcus, best of luck on Sunday. We'll talk to you down the line.
All right. Appreciate it.
All right. DeMarcus Covington joining us here. Brought to you by Rate and also by McFarlane Energy. It's a question for somebody else. Who should we ask that to? Gerard Mayo? That's a Monday morning question.
How much do we want to talk about gimmick plays or whatever he said? That's what Mayo already said. So yeah. Mayo had a chance to answer it, and I don't know. I do put Covington lower on the list. It just happened to be one of the guys.
Yeah, me too. I mean, look,
to today.
Yeah, thank you. He's the guy we're talking to today. I think he's somewhere on the list. But yeah, he's lower than I mean, certainly Mayo and some of these other guys.
No, sure. I think Mayo, Wolf, and Van Pelt are the top three. And then after that, you know, it's probably a big gap. But, yeah, Covington's one of the guys that would at least be aware of it. And then I just – it's amazing that it took to
I'm going to tell you, just saying he's a defensive player is does not a satisfactory answer because he was a defensive player in 2022. It's like, well, he correct. Plays on defense. Well, he played on a bend, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And yep. so that's what it is. Okay, back-to-back here on a Patriots Friday. This line is right. We have Mike Onwenu, Patriots offensive lineman, joining us here on a Patriots Friday. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Mike Onwenu, how are we doing this week?
Hey, I'm doing good. What about y'all?
Oh, we're doing great. It's got to be a good time of year, right, with the weather turning a little bit. Yesterday it was gross. We got snow in the forecast. It's got to be a good time to be going to Miami, right?
Yeah, I'll say so. I don't mind the weather, though. It's that good weather. I mean, me being from Michigan, I don't mind some snow or some rain or whatever.
How are you guys feeling about the state of the offense here through the first or this last month? It seems like everything is kind of on like an upward track.
Mm-hmm. I feel good about it, me personally. I like the things that we're doing, and things are coming along together. So, you know, only good things can come from that.
The offense, we saw Marcus Jones out there last week. Is that a guy that you think could have helped the offense at an earlier point this year? He's made an impact in the past. Would you like to see more of that?
Marcus is a great player. So, I mean, whenever, you know, whether it was up to him or whenever the coaches chose to do that, I think, you know, any guy that wants to help, you know, we're always open arms to it. And Marcus is a tremendous athlete and football player, so. You know, I hope to see more. You know, I've seen it in the past, and, you know, he can do good things with the ball in his hands.
What was it like getting Cole Strange back at practice this week, and how has he looked?
Yeah, it's been really good having Cole back. It's been a while since he's been out there, and he's been looking good. You know, he's been working hard, lifting, running during his rehab. And so, you know, he looks good. He looks like he's put on at least 10 pounds of muscle. He just looks more stout.
Patriots offensive lineman Mike Onwenu joining us here on a Patriots Friday. We were reading today, Mark Daniels had a story at Mass Live about Ben McAdoo. Does he run the Thursday meetings for the offense? What are those like?
Yeah, it's pretty. I would say it's pretty comedic. Definitely, he has a seriousness with it, but he keeps things light, and he always has a joke with it.
What
a couple sayings.
Okay, well, and aren't there memes? Like, what are his memeing skills like? We're very curious about this. Aren't there, like, Top Gun memes and things like this going on?
yeah. We do always have a Top Gun meme, and we always have our candidates for the week. I don't know how he chooses them, but it's always a good laugh, and we always enjoy it when we're doing that installation.
Are you a Top Gun fan, or maybe more so Top Gun Maverick?
I'm a fan of both. I've seen both.
What about Gladiator? We got Gladiator 2 coming out this weekend, which I know you're busy. You know, you have something to do on Sunday, but at some point, do you think you're going to see Gladiator 2?
Yeah, I think I will catch it. I haven't seen the trailer either. I mean, I know who's in it, but I definitely will catch that.
Okay, that and Wicked. It's going to be. I think they're calling it.
Oh, is double it, feature.
Yeah, is it Glicked? I think as well. They're referring to that. They're trying to get the Barbenheimer thing going. I believe is. Not quite the same. What sort of challenges, Mike, do the Dolphins present this weekend for you guys as an offense?
Yeah, they're a good team. Obviously, they're very good at home. They have that advantage, but it's a good team. I won't say we know the team. It's a couple of different pieces. They've been doing different things since the last time we've played them. Then going into this week, so I think it's more about us. You know, the more we play well, and the more we keep doing the things that we've been doing the last 3-4 weeks. You know. Good things will come from that.
Okay. Mike Onwenu joining us here every Friday here on Jones and Keefe. Best of luck against the Dolphins, Mike, and we'll talk to you down the line.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all. I'll see y'all.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Well, you just heard Mike Onwenu, but you're also hearing. Oh, that's right.
Let's go.
A Patriots Friday. It's already a little past 1 o'clock, but we will get to Keith's keys. All the biggest keys to Patriots and Dolphins. Don't put in your bets yet. Don't do it just yet. It comes your way next.